Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply Glory.
All right, let's pray and get right into the lesson. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the people's ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you be glorified. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're talking about transformation this month, and we're going to dig right into the text. I got some new information to give you tonight. Of course, you know our overall branching scripture is, I beseech ye therefore, by brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, many of us do not deal with that part there. There's an expectation for us to present our bodies living sacrifices. That's number one. Holy, that's number two. Acceptable unto God, that's number three. And that is reasonable, to live a life that is sacrificial, holy, and acceptable. Now, the resolve of it is in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye. Now, that's very powerful. The be ye. It's a resolve that we're going to be exactly what it is commanding after this. It's one of the most powerful scriptures that we ever see. It doesn't give too many examples. It gives one resolve. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ultimately, the overall goal of transformation is to embody the perfect will of God. And that's why we reflect solely on Jesus for divine transformation. So we're going to be talking about transforming the mind tonight. We're going to talk about framing transformation through reform, or forming transformational reform. And, of course, we want to transform ourselves ultimately into God's will. Now, before we get into the meat of the text, and I'm not going to review tonight, I'm just going to give more information, build on the things that God wants us to do. Ultimately, there are things that we should accomplish in Jesus Christ. As we take on the nature of God and we become born again, there is things that the Lord Jesus expects of us to attain. Okay, salvation brings on a new quality of life. And what does that new quality of life afford? Because a lot of times we as Christians don't take time to really identify exactly what God has ordained for us to attain in this life. There are five things that we ought to attain as a result of us being in the Lord Jesus. And I took time giving you the content of why Paul wrote Romans. And in addition to that, in reading Romans, you learn everything about salvation. And our salvation is set in Christ. And Christ is not Jesus' last name, but is indicative of his power, his influence, and his effect on our lives. Now, if that is the case, then there are some things that should come out of that effect in our lives. Number one is divine dependence. Now, it's interesting that we don't really embrace naturally the necessity of depending upon God. But what it means, when we are in Christ, we become dependent on our relationship with the Lord Jesus to identify everything we have to do with God in life. Number two, when we're in Christ, there are things that are expected in us, not only for dependence, but it's also divine identification or divine identity. So we have divine dependence and then divine identity. God wants to be able to recognize you as one of his own. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. They should be able to look at you and say, oh, I see Jesus. Ultimately, God also wants to identify us and in Jesus to attain divine authority. It's nothing worse than to see someone with a lot of potential but are not authorized. Now, authority is different from influence, because influence is selective. Authority is conferred. People can select you to be influential based on superficial things. A lot of people that assume they have authority because they're influential, that don't make you authorized. It's amazing to me how we know a lot of millionaires, but very few do we know the billionaires. And most billionaires are private. They don't look like what we think money should look like. Because they have more authority than they have influence. They would rather be pulling the strings than to be the puppet of display. So in Christ, we should attain dependence on God, identity, and authority. And ultimately, it should be indicative of what we're going to be dealing with tonight, and that is competence. And then by the end of this teaching, we're going to spend a lot of time in character. Now, I'll give you an insight. Character in Christ is righteousness. I'm giving you a whole lot of meat before I even gave you the plate. I'm giving you like a steak as a hors d'oeuvre. Character to Christ is righteousness. And if you have not attained that, then we need to reevaluate whether or not you're in Christ or you're receiving the Christ effect on your life. Now, God's intention for mankind is to experience the life and the love of God through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he gave us as the plan to go after the things pertaining to life. Am I right? Now, I also want you to understand several other things about when we talk about Christ. Christ awakens an inward stability. Now, you hear me always say that it's God has given us an inward stability fortified by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that he's already worked it out. What is that inward stability? Right? It's equality. Now, you can reflect on Philippians to really get an idea of this, but it's equality, being created in his image. It's ability. It's authority. It's security, and it's liberty. Let me say it again. It is equality, ability, authority, security, and liberty. See, I try to give you things to identify what's taking place when Jesus is really in your life. You begin to see things like God sees it, and it just kind of positions you a little differently. Then you begin to operate on what you know God has told you to do, because you know he's empowered you and authorized you to do it. And from that comes a confidence to keep it going over and over again, and then you can be free to be you, whatever, without reservation, because you know only Jesus made you who you were. He gave you dependence on him, and through that you attain identity and authority. You develop competence, and you have character. Now, I'm giving you a lot, but this is just to let you know that when these things are not taking place, there's some things that you need to resolve too when it doesn't take place. You need to resolve that there are some things in your life that need to be, number one, rejected. Some things need to be rejected From is that the life that God has intended you to live? Then also there are some things that need to be receptive. You need to receive it, reception, develop a reception. You need to receive some things from God. Then there are some things that need to be reconciled. You know what reconciled is? When I think of an account, it's an accounting term. But what it does is it brings balance back. It doesn't deny that there are negatives and positives. But it doesn't leave it in those states. It brings it to term. It makes a level plane. And God wants to do that in every area of our lives. Looking at the positives and negatives and create a platform that brings things together. So we are balanced in life. Now I'm talking about the life of God. The life that God has intended you to live. This is what we're talking about, framing transformation. See now all we have to do is rely on the Holy Spirit, but we need to know what we're relying on the Holy Spirit to do. And we want the Holy Spirit to transform us so we can ultimately conform into the will of God. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are you saved? You need to know why. And these questions answer. And after that, once we get this rejection, reception, reconciliation, we'll then have a restructure toward things, and then we'll be able to exist in God's righteousness. Did you hear what I said? Hopefully you got some nuggets out of that. That is not the lesson for tonight. That is just the appetizer. Let's get into, for the next few minutes, the meat of the lesson. We're still in Romans, and instead of exegeting tonight, we're going to take one little passage to give us a thought, because there's two objectives that we want to use. We're going to go to Romans 6, so you can mark your Bibles to Romans 6, because we want to resolve. And the only way we want to resolve to framing transformation through reform, how do we reform it? We reform it through resolve to a process that reviews and renews. And that's all I'm going to talk. I'm going to give two sections of notes on reviewing and renewing. And if we can do this, I guarantee you, by the Spirit of God, that your life will never be the same. God wants to transform us into the perfect will of God. Ultimately, not to conform to the ways of the world. No, we're rejecting the world, but we are conformed, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is acceptable and good and the perfect will of God. Ultimately, we want to get back into the core or the center of God's will. And the only way we're going to do that is we're going to have to be reformed. And in order to be reformed, we're going to have to review, and then we're going to have to renew. Now, all of that requires some things, and that's what we're going to cover tonight. I'll read Romans chapter 6 for a matter of thought. And then hopefully at the end I'll be able to tie in the content, the intent to the content that I'm going to take you through in the lesson plan. But let's start in Romans chapter 6. That's our first scripture of the night. And we only have three tonight outside of that, and then we'll just give you content. I think I'll take it easy on you tonight. Then in the next lesson, we'll go even deeper. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." This is what we should walk in, the newness of life. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in all, or we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." There's a loaded term. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Christ our Lord. So our life is here with Christ and God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, there's a lot of that, because transformation always resolves to grace, and grace unlocks the perfect will of God. So we know that this is going to be a result of several things. Here, if you just take notes and you learn how to pinpoint words, you will often hear the connotation elevate. So it talks about being raised to his resurrection. It also talks about ridding yourself of sin. It talks about reigning, not letting it reign in your mortal bodies, reckoning yourselves dead, and then resolving to righteousness. So there's a lot to that, and we're going to unplug that a little bit tonight. But let's start with this. What transformation is not? Because we often at the beginning of the year, no matter what year we're in, we often look at that particular time to try to say we're going to make a resolution. And this is not in my notes, but transformation is not a resolution. Resolutions is just a decision. It's not necessarily an action, but transformation is a little bigger than that. You don't have to do something much bigger than that. But transformation is not a mental exercise that can be switched on and off. Once the transformation process takes place, there's no turning back. Secondly, transformation is not a means to escape reality with an alternative. Transformation doesn't deny facts, but it denies its right to rule and reign any old way if it alters and come against the sovereign will of God, which is a loaded term. And then transformation is not a manipulation to suppress the past. You're not transformed, and we use the connotation. I hit it gently in the first section of this teaching, where I said that there are five stages to developing. You know, when we look at the word transformation, it always takes us back to the scientific methodology of it, which they study the caterpillar, how it changes into a new nature. So transformation is often the process is supposedly, scientifically, and it is spiritually as well, what identifies us from being transformed from one nature to another nature. How that process takes place. How does that person or that species get from one set species to a whole other species in a course of time? And the same thing that transformation does to us spiritually. It looks at a sinner who has been saved by grace and transformed to the righteousness of God. But ultimately, we don't really discover what transformation and the potential that transformation has in the life of a Christian, because we don't let the process take place fully. And the reason why we don't is because we don't regard and we don't sanctify the Lord God in our heart. We don't give enough time for the Holy Spirit to teach us and to show us not only the things that exist, but things to come. And God's power and God's spirit and God's ability is much more potent than the present or the past. It pierces into the future. And it looks into the future and can make known the end from the beginning. But if you're short-sighted, you'll miss out on God's power, hallelujah, to show you. Now, when you transform, you can transfigure. And we used the example last week of how when Jesus was transfiguring himself, he was trying to transform the perspective of the three apostles that were with him. They tried to make sanctuaries out of it when ultimately their focus should have been on Jesus' new nature. What he was showing them was that the nature that they walked with was not the nature that he ultimately would become. And that who we would become, they were giving a glimpse. He would do nothing in the earth without first revealing it to the prophets. Jesus, even being raised from the dead, had to be reviewed by the presence. It had to be done so that someone prophetically could account that the same man that raised from the dead at the Mount of Transfiguration was the same guy who changed his nature. And that's what transformation does. It identifies that we have truly had a contact and an experience with God. Now, so it's not a mental exercise. It's not a means to escape. It's not a manipulation to suppress. It's not a method to control. It is not a manifestation to alter history. I know that. I know, didn't the reverend say this is the year of manifestation? It shall be seen. Yeah, it shall be seen. And it is, and manifestation does occur. But transformation is not for the sake of exposure. Oh, y'all got to get this. God is not trying to use transformation to make you a showcase. Transformation is an inward work that every believer should go forth to attain God's will for life. And what we've done is we've tried to commercialize our transformation. It's like these people that make resolutions at the beginning of the year, and they talk about, yeah, I want to lose so much weight, and then 6 months later, they don't lose nothing. They gain weight because they're trying to, instead of developing a life plan, they limited themselves to a vision of health. It's amazing to me. I know a lot of countless stories of people who've lost drastic weight losses and died because they didn't take care of the health portion of it. We're going to talk about health later on this year as well in 28 Days of Glory. Be looking for it on the radio in February. All month we're going to be teaching the Word of God in a different light this year. But I'm going to talk about health this year because, see, what would it gain the whole world and lose your soul? And God desires, and part of his intent and his desire through his will is for us to attain health. And we can't attain health doing things just for the sake of appearing like we have done something that we have not allowed to have the complete process. And so transformation is not a mental exercise, a means to escape, a manipulation, a method to control, or a manifestation. Transformation is a resolve to conform into the perfect will of God. And when there's any other reason behind that process, because it's for the changing of natures, that's disclosed. That's not done publicly. You don't do that for fanfare. God is more valuable than that. I have to hurry on because we're almost out of time. But you need to understand that there are five things biblical transformation requires. Number one, it requires an encounter with truth. Transformation requires an encounter with truth. Secondly, it requires an enlightenment in the mind. Thirdly, it requires an experience with the Holy Spirit. It requires an exit from worldly situations and ambition. And then it requires an embrace of sovereign authority, an encounter, an enlightenment, an experience, an exit, and an embrace. It's a lot of workings into it because ultimately we are aligning ourselves for the perfect will of God. Now, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to review and renew. Now, what Jesus does in the process of transformation is confront and confront in order to conform us. And that is the great reform. Jesus confronts our weaknesses and restores us into the intent of God's will. So ultimately, what he does is this. He addresses power complexes. He addresses things that are personality conflicts. He develops patterns in your personalities and emulations that that you've gotten from other people. He addresses plausible accepted iniquities, and he challenges you to develop greater personal devotion. Now we have to review. In order to review something, there are some things we have to do, and I have to hurry, and I have to hit you, and I have to run. We have to review and renew. This is what we're doing. We're framing transformational reform through reviewing and renewing. That's what God wants us to do. There are five things that we do when we review. We reflect. We evaluate reciprocity. We resolve. We revamp. And we reveal. It's all exposure. At the end of the day, it's all exposure. God wants us to ask pertinent questions. And there are questions that we should ask when we're talking about everyday affair lives in order to attain God's will for our life. Number one, do we acknowledge God in all our ways? Do we acknowledge God in all our ways? Number two, do we have authority to exercise his power and his influence on the situations at hand? Do we have acts or authority to exercise his power and influence on the given circumstance? Thirdly, do we accept the right for him not to be involved? When you're going about doing what you want to do, does God have the right to say, I'm not involved into this. Take your hands off of it. Don't do it. Turn around. Change your perspective. Transform by the renewing of your mind. Ultimately, when we're looking in our lives and we're asking these questions, these are what awaken. This is what we mean to review. Because if we cannot enter into a relationship where we can review these things, then God doesn't have the power to change us. Because we haven't asked the essential questions to give him access. All right? Now, do we adapt to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, whom he's given to lead us and guide us into the truth? That's number four. Do we adapt to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? And then number five, do we advance through his resolves? Do we advance through his resolves? Now, what I'm telling you to do, evaluate your course of life. Ask yourself, does God have complete access? Do we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him so that he could direct our path, or are we directing our path? That's the question. Are we really reviewing? Are we allowing him? Are we reflecting his nature? Are we getting the things that he said? If we do this through reciprocity, is it coming back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? Right? Are we resolving to the things that he's considered as his standards, as absolute authority? Are we revamping to adapt ourselves to the nature of his will through his spirit? And are we revealing the nature of Christ on an everyday basis? If we cannot say yes to every question, we got to go back to the drawing board and review. Review to see if God is really God in our lives. Now, I'm taking a little more time, and I have that liberty as the founder of this ministry, to give you the pertinent information to help you review. God wants us to review our courses of behavior and actions, and he wants us to align to the will of God. Now, how do we do that? Through reviewing. And not only that, we must renew. We must be renewed. Now, there's three major scriptures that we can specify to help us renew, because renew is a new platform. It's not something normal, so it's not easily embraced. It's not something that we have knowledge of already that we just finally decided to act on. When something is new, it's new. Now, the re part was that it was in the intent of God's will for you to do it in the first place as new. But that's God's part. So what God does, being that he makes known the end from the beginning, his sovereignty reigns in our lives through us accepting Jesus Christ as our salvation. When that really takes place in our life, we then experience what it means to have renewal. Renewal is God had intended for you to do this all along. He was just waiting for you to give him access through review so that he could renew.